The Creative Spirit by Peggy Clark, Minister, First Unitarian Society of Westchester and Hastings-on-Hudson, New York. My son is in kindergarten. Every morning before we leave for school, I check his backpack for the essentials. A sweater, a snack packed neatly in his Star Wars lunchbox, an empty water bottle to be filled up at school, some toy cars in case he gets bored on the bus ride home, and one blue plastic folder, standard issue for every kindergartner. It gets put into the backpack empty each morning and in the afternoon returns filled with papers. Sometimes there are flashcards with new sight words or a note from the school about an upcoming assembly. But every day without exception, there's paper colored with crayons or glitter or something else to give it flair, which means that in every class, every day, without exception, each six-year-old has a reason to draw something, to paint something, to cut shapes from colored paper and paste it onto something. And every day that blue folder is filled with treasures of the day's lessons and adventures, pictures of butterflies emerging from a cocoon, of the earth rotating around the sun, or maybe of horses flying in a jungle made of lollipops. If you ask my son what he can draw, he'll say anything. What do you want? Want to see me riding my bicycle over an ocean? Or grandma learning ninja moves from her cats? Or how about daddy playing soccer against a team of tigers in space? He can do it all. And at 6 years old, he's encouraged to do it. It's part of the day's curriculum. They learn math and reading and science, and they play outdoors, and they color and paint and glue things. Hanging in every cubby is a smock ready on a moment's notice. In kindergarten, everything you need is in one room. There's paint and music, there's room to dance, there's science experiments and lab equipment and materials to read and write and sing and build. Those things are also available in middle school and high school and college, but they're in different rooms, maybe different buildings, and as we get older, we limit who has access to them. The older we get, the more specialized and focused our learning. This room is for painting, and that for singing and science, and experiments are done over there. And with each passing year, we discern, generally for ourselves, but sometimes for each other, who belongs in which room. Are you a singer? Can you dance? Can you act? Can you draw? That's your room over there. Or maybe you need to find another building. Our birthright as artists and dreamers is drained away from us. Daydreaming is part of the creative process. I spend a lot of time daydreaming. I imagine beautiful old houses, and I decorate them in my mind. Ceilings, walls, windows, floors, furniture. I imagine textures, colors, scents in each room. The other direction my daydreams take is imagining the perfect community. It's always attached to a farm where animals are safe, a place people can work and be cared for. A place everyone is getting what they need. I create this beloved community in my mind over and over again. Daydreaming is a critical part of the creative process and a key to how we survive a world that can be cold and lonely and frightening. It's how we know where we want to go and how we're going to get there. It's the door into whatever's next. The other day, I called a man I know. This man is at the top of his game. He's well-known, respected in his field. He's met with the Pope and the Dalai Lama and recently turned down an invitation to the White House because he had something more important to do. So when I called his cell phone, he answered, but sounded a little dazed. And then he confessed he'd been daydreaming. I laughed and apologized for interrupting the most important thing he'd do all day. And he didn't get it. He responded by saying, well, I hope not, but I meant it. I think that for this man to do all he does, to imagine the world a better place, to build the world we all dream about, he's going to need to do a lot of daydreaming. He got thousands of people to St. Peter's Square at the Vatican for a massive demonstration of support for the Pope's recent encyclical, Laudato Si, on care of our common home. You might have seen it on TV or read about it. The only way for that to happen is to be willing to dream big, to let your imagination run free. Daydreaming isn't a waste of time. It's the mandatory preliminary action without which nothing else can be done. First, we dream. First, we imagine beloved community. First, we let ourselves believe that which we wish can be. Trusting our creativity and indulging our imagination is our only option if we want transformation, if we want to build the new world that exists in our dreams.